Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Is it time for your child, your boy, and specifically, to get the HPV vaccine? Do you have some concerns about its effectiveness, about the need for it, really? Well, we're talking about that. I have my own questions. And my guest today is Dr. Rodney Willoughby, Jr. He's a professor of pediatrics at the Medical College of Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Dr. Willoughby. So HPV, we've heard the Gardasil is for our girls, 11 years old to 15. It really can prevent cervical cancer. There is no question about that. What is it doing for our boys? And what age should we be considering giving it to them?
Well, we actually don't discriminate from boys and girls anymore. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that all children, boys and girls, receive this vaccine as part of the what we call the adolescent platform, which is generally age 11 to 12. You can actually get this vaccine as young as age 9, and it should be given to all males and females through age 21. And for the females, because of the better data, it's through age 26.
Well, now, so why the should HPV it be given vaccine. So what is it doing for our boys, and what does it do different for the boys than the girls?
Well, there are actually the two vaccines out there, not just the one that you mentioned. Both of these vaccines are intended as anti-cancer vaccines. And so there is a large amount of cervical cancer, which clearly only affects women. But there is also a lot of other cancers of the genital region or of the ear, nose, mouth, and throat, what are called oropharyngeal cancers, which affects both genders, but affects boys more. And these are up-and-coming cancers, which the most resistant to standard cancer treatments are the ones that are associated with the HPV, the human papillomavirus. So if you actually look at it, and it was recently a report to the president on the status of these cancers, and what you see is that there are probably twice as many cancers associated with HPV in women than men, but that is still a very large number. It's the leading cause of cervical cancer, but it is also a leading cause of oropharyngeal cancers. And so what it's protecting in boys and men are some of the genital cancers, but also a disproportionately large share of the cancers of the mouth and throat.
Now, you want to make it clear, Dr. Willoughby, that it's important that our boys get this before any sort of sexual activity has taken place, correct?
Yeah, so it's sexually activity sort of loosely defined, and the epidemiology still isn't totally clear on this. So what is clear is that adolescents and young adults tend to get more HPV than any other age group. And that these infections will, in some individuals, persist long enough to cause changes that lead to cancer. And so to prevent it, the vaccine has to be given at some age before they become potentially sexually active or even pre-sexually active. Again, the oropharyngeal ones, it's not clear that's related to sexual activity. That may be actually communicated through other mechanisms, including perhaps kissing. That's not totally clear right now based on the epidemiology. So there's really any time between birth and the start of sexual activity would be an appropriate type to immunize. The vaccine's been tested for the tween years, and that's because there are fewer vaccines there, so it's easier to get another vaccine into what's already a crowded schedule. And so that's where the recommendation lies. But we have another anti-cancer vaccine, and that one's given at birth. And that also is often sexually transmitted. So it's not so much that you want to give it just before you start. You just want to get it in before there's the potential to start. The vaccine won't work once you've already gotten the infection.
Are there any side effects that parents need to be concerned about? And Dr. Willoughby, my son is 14 today, and so I mean,
well, happy
I guess
birthday.
Well, thank you, but I guess it's probably time. And he hasn't had the vaccine yet. His well visit is in a few weeks. So are there any concerns? Should I have any concerns? Is there any other side effects besides, you know, sight redness and things like that?
Well, you better hurry because the vaccine works less well when you're in the age 15 and up group. So if you want to get the most bang for the buck in terms of benefit, it really needs to be done before so the recommendation is sort of the 9 to 15 age group. And then once you hit 15 and on up, then the vaccine does not induce the same strength of immunity. In terms of the side effects, people have looked very hard at that, and there are several, meaning at least three, national surveillance mechanisms in this country to look at the safety of the vaccine. And to date, none of them have found anything which raises a signal above what's called background, and that is that there are rare events that happen, and they will happen to anybody, and occasionally they're going to fall in around the time that you get into your car or that you get your vaccine, and so they're not necessarily related. So it's a long way of saying we monitor closely, and at the moment the only known side effects of this vaccine are the same side effects which occur with any vaccine that are serious, one of which is that you can potentially be allergic to a component of the vaccine, which is rare, but which occasionally happens. And then adolescents, for whatever reason, tend to faint a lot when they get vaccines. And so people generally want you to stay seated for a quarter of an hour or so after you get your vaccine so that you don't fall and gash your head open someplace. Other than that, really nothing.
Okay, so that's good to know. Now, we only have about 2 minutes, but I want to talk to my son about this. What do we say to our kids about this? You know, the other vaccines are easy to tell them why they're getting them. This one is a little different. It's a little different topic. So if you would please give us a little direction on talking to our children about this vaccine.
I don't think it's that hard. You give hepatitis B vaccine to newborn babies for the same reason. It prevents cancer. This is an anti-cancer vaccine. And you need to get it in before you acquire the virus. And I don't even think necessarily you need to go into specifics of how you acquire it. The fact is that this vaccine tends to attack adolescents and young adults, and it causes cancer, which often follows 10, 20 years after you get the first infection, which is how many cancers arise over long periods of time. And this vaccine will prevent you from getting a leading cause of cancer in females and what is increasingly a leading cause of cancer in males. And I think that's really the level of discussion. If you want to include some sex education in terms of the fact that you need to be careful about who you engage in pre-sexual or sexual activities with, then those conversations can also occur and speak to a much wider range of problems. But this is really, truly not so much about a sexually transmitted disease. Rather, it's about preventing a common form of cancer that affects both men and women and can be passed between people, men and women, men and men, women and women.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rodney Willoughby, Jr. And parents, you know you can talk to your children, explain that this is an anti-cancer vaccine and very important for them in their preteen years. So if your children are 9 years old and up, it is time, and you don't want to wait till they're 15. So my son's getting his in a couple of weeks. Be sure and just talk to your pediatrician if you have any concerns. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.